joining us now. Booger McFarland, two-time Super Bowl champ, covered the draft all weekend. And we got to get your thoughts on what the Texans did. But I got to tell you, man, I think it was Friday night, that green suit you had on. Yeah, I said, boy, Booger's up there feeling himself, looking good, clean as a whistle. That green, I don't know that I can pull off that green suit, but Booger, you sure as hell did.
Well, first of all, appreciate it, man. And listen, when choosing colors to wear on TV, if you know everybody's going to have on gray and blue and you want to stand out a little bit, you got to come up with something different, man.
Yeah, that you did it. That green, boy, that was clean.
Hey Boog, what was the atmosphere like, man? It's been 2 years since we've seen a live draft. It looked really good on TV. The 600,000 in Nashville, that was a tall bar to set, obviously. How was Cleveland, man?
Cleveland was good, man. I mean, there were probably 50 to 75,000 people there over the course of 3 days. Atmosphere was good. It was more of an enclosed environment, so it felt like it was a lot more people than were actually there. So Cleveland did a great job, and the weather was pretty good. It actually was a little chilly on Friday night and Saturday, but overall it was good.
All right, Booger McFarland, ESPN, in with us to discuss the draft. And I'm curious your thoughts about what the Texans did. How did you feel about what it appeared they just went to them best available, as opposed to some of the needs that it seems like they need to feel, especially defensively? What was your thoughts on how they addressed the draft?
Well, they got a lot of needs, so I don't think they had enough picks in the draft to fill all the needs, so there's really no need in trying to approach the draft that way. I think that, taking best player available, I think you take guys with good traits, guys that have a good background. There's a reason some of these guys that are going to be in the third, fourth, fifth round. And, when you have uncertainty at the quarterback position, when you have a new defense coming in with Lovie Smith, there are things that you can always plug in. I think Houston's best is going to be best when it comes to the draft after they're in this system. Because it's one thing for Lovie to tell Nick, hey, here's what I need, here's what I want. I think after Nick sees this defense in action for a year, and you see in a year how the quarterback situation is going to play out on and off the field, I think he'll have a better idea of what he needs next year. But I think right now he did the right thing. You take best player available at every spot that you are, and you move on from there.
Booger, what were you hearing about the Davis Mills pick in particular there with your crew? I think on day two, that was one that really stood out. And more so, first of all, what were you hearing? Secondly, what does this tell you about the Houston Texans and the Deshaun Watson marriage?
Well, I don't think it says anything. Like Davis Mills, I don't think he is in any danger of coming in and saying, okay, Davis is going to be your quarterback of the future. I think what you look at is really simple, is that you probably needed to address the position. Tyrod Taylor, I think we all like Tyrod, but Tyrod hasn't been long for anywhere. Davis Mills, former five-star guy, man. Like, so the traits are there. There was some concern about the knee, which I think, most doctors, every team doctor has to make their organization feel comfortable. There was concerns that he only started 11 games. And so I think this was a pick that you make in the third round. If he plays up to his ceiling, then guess what? You got a former five-star guy, just like Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, who was just a late bloomer. And you've really hit gold. If he doesn't, then guess what? It's a third-round pick. You move on and you keep it rolling. So I think in the end, I like the Davis Mills pick because the draft is about potential, man. That's what it's all about. Like, there's really only about 5 or 10 guys in every draft where you say, man, this guy, it can't miss for whatever reason. Other than that, every other guy is about potential and how you think he could fit in the right system. So I like the Mills pick. I like the Brevin Jordan pick at tight end, a guy, at the very worst, he's going to be a guy you can move around and he can be a matchup nightmare for linebackers and safeties. Nico Collins, big wide receiver. You figure a guy that's 6'4", he's going to be a tough matchup on 50-50 balls and down in the red zone. So there's talent there. I don't think you got any stars like right now. All the talent's going to have to be developed over time, which, to be honest, that's what most organizations have to deal with.
All right, Booger McFarland here with us, ESPN, Cover the Draft. You brought up Brevin Jordan, and he is a guy out of Miami, the tight end, that a lot of people have been pretty high on and had high draft grades on. Some people thought he could be the second best tight end in this draft. What is the thought process of why he would be available there in the fifth round when you start to look at all of the natural talent it seems like he has?
Well, just some inconsistency as a receiver. Like if you're saying, okay, I want a tight end that can catch the football, you're going to get Kyle Pitts. If I'm looking for a guy that can maybe do it all, I'm going to get Freiermuth from Penn State. If I'm looking maybe a bigger guy, I'm going to get Long from, I believe it was Boston College. So Brevin's just kind of like what is he? Like what does he do better than the rest of the people? He's a really good athlete. I don't know if he's ever going to be a really good blocker. So you're basically talking about a guy like a Jonnu Smith. He can position block a little bit, but this is going to be a guy that you're looking for to create matchups in the passing game. And so it's really kind of a niche player. And I think when you start taking niche players who don't have transcendent traits, I think this is where you get guys like that at.
Booger, where with the rest of the draft, everybody else, man, who give me a couple of teams that really stood out for you? And we're going to keep our fingers crossed and hope that they didn't land in the same division with the Texans moving forward. But give me two, three teams that you think just killed it in this draft.
Well, I think the Jets killed it. I do. I think anytime you get a quarterback and a guard that they're going to start from day one. I think you got to feel really good about what they did. Who else? I like what Carolina did. I like what Detroit. Man, I mean, I think if I had to rank them, teams who like the top three, I would probably go the Jets would be one, Detroit would be two, and then I'm thinking who else?
Denver had a good one.
Denver had a good one. I like what the Chargers did. You know, they got Slater, Sante Samuel, this guy who at the very worst can play nickel, Josh Palmer. You know, you got Mike Williams, you got Keenan Allen. Now you got Palmer as maybe a three. I like what they did. Kansas City. Here's the thing about Kansas City. So Kansas City didn't have a first round pick, but you have to lump in the first round pick that they traded away for. Orlando Brown. So think about this. Kansas City got Orlando Brown with a first-round pick. All right, he's going to start at left tackle. You got Nick Bolton, that's a running hit linebacker. At the very worst, he'll play special teams. He'll probably challenge to be part of the rotation. Creed Humphrey, the center, he'll probably start by the middle of the season. And the guy that I really like, Trey Smith, the guard they got in the sixth round, he'll be a Pro Bowler in 2 years. Like, I think he's that good. And he was a former five-star player out of Tennessee. He had some blood clots in his lungs. He had to take like a long time off. As long as his health is there, he'll be a Pro Bowl guard in 2 years. Mark my words. You can say the tape and play it back next time I come on your radio show in a couple years. He'll be a Pro Bowl guard, and they got him in the sixth round. So I really like what Kansas City did when you include the first-round pick they traded for Orlando Brown.
All right, Booger, appreciate you jumping on with us. Before we get out, I gotta ask you this. Has Aaron Rodgers played his last game as a Green Bay Packer?
It's up to him. If he says he has, then he has. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, think about this. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is not hurting for money now. And usually the people who can't sit out are the guys that don't have enough money. And if you look at Aaron Rodgers' career, and I'm actually on the internet right now, so I'll tell you in like 2 seconds from a career earning standpoint, I'm going to show you how much money that Aaron Rodgers
has made. It's like $240, I think.
Aaron Rodgers is right now, he's sitting on $240 million. So Aaron Rodgers cannot play a down the rest of his life and be fine. So if in his mind, if his conviction has come up and says that he's not playing it for the organization no more, he doesn't have to play. Like, they can fine him $3 million. It doesn't matter. He's made $240 plus on the field, and we're not even counting off the field. So this is strictly up to him. Like, there, he doesn't have to be pressured because of money. He is in a situation where if in his mind he has said, I am not playing for them anymore because of X, He doesn't have to play. So it's totally up to him. And based on what Schefter and all these guys are reporting, he's done. So if that's the case, then I'm going to go with him until I hear a difference. Sounds like he's done.
Booger, where's the next golf game, man? Where's the next, what course you playing next?
I'm going to be around here in Tampa for a little while, man. I got to come out in the Houston area. You know, Blue Jack National is one of my favorite. I got to get back out there. I'm going to try to get up and play wing foot this summer. So I'm going to go up to the East Coast a little bit. But right now I'll be in Florida, man, for the next month or so. And then we'll move around. I waited too late to go to Augusta. They close up in a couple of weeks, so I'm not going to be able to get up there. But you know me, Dirty Red. I play anywhere. So if somebody invites me, I'm going to figure out a way to show up. But Blue Jack National is one of my favorite out there in Montgomery, Texas.
Well, how about this? Next time you come this direction, text me on the way in instead of the way out, you dirty sucker.
Hey, well, listen. Hey, here's the thing I learned a long time ago. You text people on the way out. That way they don't ask to go where you're going. And then you can always, man, I thought about you, but I just, man, next time I think about you on the way in.
Booger McFarland, the person who demoralized me when I bought my Peloton and I saw the numbers that he puts up.
Oh.
Speaking of Peloton, Dirty Red, are you actually going to pedal the thing? Or are you just going to sit on there and listen to the music?
God, don't look at my numbers. See, they're telling you. I looked at him. I said, there's no way possible he's doing this.
It's unbelievable.
There's no way. No way possible.
He texts me, let's ride, Dirty. And I look at his numbers, and it's 309 output. Get the hell out of here. I couldn't walk for 3 days if I did that.
No, I can't do it.
Red.
I can't do it one time. Once this average, I can't hit one time.
Listen, all you got to be able to do, man, is this. The Peloton is no different than going to run wind sprints. Is that you have to build up. First of all, nobody can ride 30 minutes straight at one speed. Like those pro cyclists do that. It's no different than going out running gassers. If you were to go out and run a half gasser, how much time would you take in between, Dirty Red? Like what, 30, 40 seconds? So that's what you got to realize when you do this bike. You're going to warm up for 4 or 5 minutes, and then you're going to do sprints for 30, 45 seconds. And then you take off and you idle down for about 30, and then you ramp it back up again. So you got to give your body a chance to recover, and then you hit it back again. That's all I do. If you ever look at mine, all I do is intervals. Like, I'll go hard for 45, a minute, 30 seconds, then I'm going to take 15, 20 seconds off to recoup, and then I go back at it. So if that ticker in your chest can get in shape, then you can do it. Now, if you're out of shape, then that's nothing you can do, man.
Oh, I can work towards it. I guess you just said to hell with the coach, huh? You just paid for the bike and said to hell with the coach?
No, you know what I do is I choose interval classes. Like, those are the classes I like doing. So I'm always going to do intervals. And each class has a warm-up. So the warm-up, I just do my own thing. I just ride 5 minutes and get loose. And once the warm-up is over, then I take the intervals as they come.
All right, Booger. Thank you. I mean, you've given us a lesson. It's
well,
so much.
Listen, I want you guys to be around a little bit. And, you know, everybody says, man, how do you do that on the bike? It's really simple. It's about effort and realizing when you step on that bike, it's not going to be easy. Now, if you want to get on there and sit there and answer the phone and drink water and talk and watch TV, that's not going to happen. Think about me when I get on there. I don't drink water from the time I get on to the time I get off. TV's not on. The phone is on silent. Like, I'm on a 30-minute mission. Now, if that's what you're out to do, if you're out to grind, and if you want to be about that life, then that's what you do. Now, if you want to, you know, I see soccer moms walking up and down the street exercising while talking on the phone. I'm like, that's not exercise. Y'all just chit-chatting, you know?
All right.
How do you exercise while on the phone? So, again, make up your mind what you want to do, and then, okay, you know what? That's enough. I'm going to be quiet because I could go on for the next 20 minutes.
I know you can. I'll
stop.
We just lost 10 of our soccer moms at listen.
They're texting in and calling. There's moms driving those Tacomas.
But this, though, have you ever seen the mom that walks down the street and she's exercising, but she's on the phone? Who exercises on the phone? Like, if you are exercising, your breathing needs to accelerate just a little bit, right?
Yes.
How can you talk with an accelerated breath? I never understand that.
Oh, man. Booger McFarland, the best in the business. We appreciate you jumping on with us and giving us everything that you gave us. And please, out there, learn those exercise habits that Booger's giving us. Thanks, Book.
Hey, Dirty Red, congratulations on the wedding, man. Hey, you better drop that extra 15 you done gained, by the way.
God, Booger's out of here. I
appreciate it. I'll be waiting for that gift in the Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl champ gift in the – in the mail, Bump. I'll get on that Peloton, too.
Hey, I give it to you every time I come on here. It's called advice.
Booger McFarland. He's feeling it. Booger McFarland, ESPN. Thank you for joining us, man. Look, everything he talked about, I do. I go, Clint, I do intervals just like him. No, I don't go without drinking no water in no 30 minutes. I'll pass.
Right. Water's for the weak.
I'm not on that. I'll pass right to smooth off that bike. But I go intervals. I do it just like he does, just like he said. I'm not getting to no 309.
He must be going a little harder than you.
A little. A lot harder. Everything he said, tip 20s, I am out. Did it this morning. Was out cold. No chance.